Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
We know Native American Heritage Month is over. However, the celebration continues here on the Ivy Podcast. And we want to thank you for joining us. If it's your first time here, welcome to our podcast. We are an educational nonprofit. We're based in Montana and Arizona. And we want to thank Apple Podcasts for giving us the spotlight, an amazing program that gives creators like us a chance to shine. Thank you so much for the team who works so hard behind the scenes to get little shows like ours out there to you. Thank you, Apple Podcasts. We love you forever. I love where this conversation is going. However, I want to take a short moment to share with you our cultural humility training that is coming up this January. Yeah, we're already in December. If you are listening past the date, make sure you head up our website, indigenousvision.org, to learn more about our upcoming trainings. But starting this January 17th, for a four-day virtual training, Indigenous Vision will present the Cultural Humility Framework. This training spans over 4 days, from 12:30 p.m. to 3 Mountain Time on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's going to be January 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th. It's an immersive, interactive training with live dialogue, self-reflection. We get to test our assumptions, disrupt scripting, and learn the tools to continue the cultural humility framework after the training. It's 10 hours in total, like I said. You can send your best DEI champions from your organization over to us. We are looking so forward to and engaging in this important dialogue to shape our future. If you are serious about the path forward in equity, definitely hit us up for the training, indigenousvision.org/cultural humility. You can also check out the links I've shared in the show description for this episode. And thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. You are officially listening to episode 76. My name is Melissa Spence. I am the media lady here at Ivy, and we have a very special guest on this episode because we're gathering in December to talk about our experience that our youth coordinator, Faye, and myself, when we went to Hawaii to check out the Mana Wahine Ikolu, which means three, conference. Hello. Good morning, Suta and Faye. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm doing good, Melissa.
Cool. Last time I saw you, we were in Hawaii at the airport. It was late at night and we had just experienced, you know, 4 days of the island of Oahu for the conference for Mana Wahine, which I showed up not even really knowing what Mana Wahine even meant. And it means female empowerment. So we both went. It was amazing. And we just wanted to share some of our experiences and kind of do a recap because I am planning to do a blog post on the website, kind of sharing with our community what we experienced and what went down in those 3 packed days. So why don't you just kind of go off and give us your perspective on what you were expecting before you even got to Mana Wahine?
Coming from Phoenix, the one thing I didn't expect was the warm weather. I didn't expect it to be as warm as it was. It was so warm. We got to greet the ocean as the sun was rising, got to go in the water, and the water wasn't too cold, but it was nice. I didn't expect the people to be as nice as they were. They were so welcoming. They accompanied us very good. Always checking up on us. I didn't expect to meet the people we have met there, such as the mayor, the judge, all the high reps. It was a really good experience.
Yeah, from the moment we landed, Suta, they took us in like we were all cousins or something, or like we were their nieces. It was really unreal. And I haven't experienced something like that since I've been in Canada, to be totally honest. And it was really cool just to kind of be shuttled into this hotel room with all these, you know, Hawaiian grandmothers and mothers who had prepared like homemade food and were just like shoving it in our faces right away and like, come in, sit down, giving us hugs and kisses right away. It was really amazing to like be greeted that way, like right off the first hour of being there. And it really set the tone for how the conference was going to go and just the experience in general. It was really, really cool. And I couldn't say no to anything they offered because it was so heartfelt and genuine and like prepared with love. So I ate absolutely everything that they offered.
What was the food like?
It was a lot of pork. I know that pork is like a really big thing over there. And I know that the mayor that we had met said that he had grew up on a pig farm. So the way they prepared it in so many different ways was pretty delicious. And it was traditional stuff that I'd never had before. The cabbage and pork was something that I'd never tried before. I thought they really took care of us and made sure that we were okay from right off of the hops. And it was just great to see them. And at first, I didn't even realize who we were mingling amongst. But yeah, we met the mayor of Maui. We're hanging out with the governor of Hawaii. Like, it was just all of the top reps for the Pua Foundation, who are the ones who throw the Mana Wahine conference every couple of years. It's not an annual thing, but it's every 2 years. And all of their staff was there. They're the ones who greeted us. The Pua Foundation is obviously a Hawaiian run nonprofit. And what they do is help Hawaiian natives who are getting cycled through the incarceration system and, you know, the, I guess, rehabilitate and overcome their traumas while they're being incarcerated and come out healed or have better healing practices. So it's a really cool organization. They focus on the Native Hawaiian women who are being incarcerated and transform the trauma into healing, which was what the conference was all about. And it was like, it just spoke to me right away. I was like, yes, I get it. I found that I related a lot to a lot of the people. A lot of the attendees were people who had been through the system, have been incarcerated, have done lots of crime, but found healing through their culture and were able to transform their traumas into amazingness. Some of them are entrepreneurs now. A lot of them were presenters at the workshops and found new ways to heal. And it was just unbelievably inspiring to hear all the stories, like straight from the source.
That's so inspiring. I have never been to a women's event or a victim's event or any event along that lines of empowering the youth in the community where the mayor and the governor were both in attendance. And that's huge when you have leadership at that level, supporting the community in the healing at that level. And I can't see it be any other way but transformation.
Right. And you know what? When the governor was up there giving her big speech and it was a dialogue as she was talking with the audience, I kept thinking, this is cultural humility in action. She is using her power and privilege to create mutually beneficial partnerships and make the system accountable. So they're really trying to make the system accountable because it's Native Hawaiians are just overrepresented in prison. Like they're everywhere, just like our problems here. So she's really trying to make it change the system, change the way court is done. There's all these programs. There's women's court now that they've erected. There's all kinds of programs that they're really trying to change because Native Hawaiians have just like us have this historical trauma that they're carrying around, and it's not their fault that that happened to them and that this has been carried down over generations, but it is up to the system now to change. And I could see it happening, and it was really cool to hear the natives in the crowd ask the questions and both of them talk about it and really try and like genuinely trying to find solutions and actionable steps and not just a governor showing up and giving a speech and not listening to anybody. It was really cool to see literal cultural humility in practice.
That's beautiful when people come to the table open to dialogue instead of coming to the table with our agendas of even from our perspective, right? Hey, I have never actually been to an event where prisoners or ex-prisoners got to speak to governors. I'm still stuck on that a little bit, but it's very cool.
It was so cool. And it all really resonated with me, you know, like the historical intergenerational trauma, like, hello, that's like my biggest obstacle in my life. So the trauma to transformation and then the incarceration to an independence is what the Pua Foundation is all about. And all the women and a couple of the men who run the Pua Foundation were the ones who were organizing the whole conference. So you saw them everywhere you went. They were up there. They were at the table. They were making sure that you were getting your food. They were making sure that you were comfortable. Like, it was just so amazing to see this organization absolutely everywhere and helping you and being super friendly and just taking care of us and offering us ways to
to better enjoy the land too. Like I got invited to the sunrise ceremony right away. And I was just like, wow, I didn't think that that was something that would happen. Like they were just so open to sharing their culture. There was nothing holding them back on that. And we all went down to the beach in the morning and they shared with us how they greet the sunrise every morning and cleanse, and how it's something that you can do anywhere with water and any with anyone. And they encourage you to share it with other people because the world needs it. The world needs healing.
What's a Hawaiian water sunrise ceremony like?
It's beautiful. It's quiet. That was the thing that I really enjoyed. Like it wasn't a bunch of people talking. It was almost like you're meditating with a group and you all just kind of get together. You think about, you know, your blessings. You have three things that you're focusing on. You go into the water, you kind of dunk down and cleanse yourself with each of those intentions in your mind while you're doing that. Because the ocean's so powerful and full of salt, and that's cleansing. Specifically, the Hawaiian salt is what makes it a cleansing agent. So you think about gratitude, forgiveness, and learning. Those are the three things that you focus on each day. With each one, you dunk yourself in the water completely. And I showed up the first day. I had like my hair on. I was wearing makeup. And I was like, whoa, maybe I should have came more pure. Traditionally, you do it naked and totally pure in the water, but we went in our bathing suits, obviously. We were at the Aulani Resort, which was a Disney resort, so we're not going to go into the ocean beach naked in front of everybody. Even though it was sunrise, there were still people jogging and stuff like that in the background, and it was still pretty dark. And you have to do it when it's still dark because, you know, it's female energy that we're representing. So the darkness, you know, of the female being inside the womb, nighttime is our time. It was just so beautiful. And I did it every morning during the conference. And by the last day I was makeupless and I was just totally natural. And I went in and I was like, yes, I feel it. I feel totally changed, Sutta. I'm like in a great mood ever since I came back and I feel awesome. How are you feeling, Faye, after everything?
Feeling very empowered, like that meeting all the ladies, bringing home back the teachings that they have taught. Yeah, just feeling really great. Also, I thought it was really cool that as soon as we got there the first night when we woke up, we found out the volcano erupted. And ever since then, the people, that's all they were talking about. And not like us here on the mainland, we see volcanoes as scary and, you know, frightening, but there they were very happy that she erupted. They're just talking about how it meant, like, basically rebirth, making new land. Yeah, and it just pertained a lot to the conference that, you know, this is what we're here for. We're here to rekindle. We're here to make new connections, make a new path. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm feeling really good.
I feel amazing too. My mother right away was texting about the volcano erupting because it happened literally 3 hours after we landed. And I didn't know that while we were even having the first sunrise ceremony. And I broke down. I got so emotional and I was just like crying my face off in the ocean, just complete release, which is also what was happening with the volcano. And as soon as we went to the workshops, they were like, that was the first thing they spoke about was Pele, which is their deity, their goddess. They kept referring to her as a person, which is obviously something that also we do with when it comes to land. And it was really cool just to see them respect that and how it was all connected, how we're all here gathered as women and the volcano, you know, decided to erupt at this time and is still erupting. And so everything that's happening is happening right now and everything's transforming right now. And we can't get caught up on the past because we have to live in the present moment right now because things are constantly changing. Like the earth, their land is constantly changing. I know that the big island of Hawaii, where all the volcanoes are still active, it's still growing. Like their land is still literally being created as we speak. And they were just so proud of that. And they were just like really, really open to the fact that the land is in a traumatic way, creating itself and rebirthing and giving new life. And it was just so cool to see how you can transform something like an earthquake or like a volcano into something completely beautiful, like new land and new landscape. So it was just like this whole deep reflection thing right off the hop of like, oh my goodness, the land is changing while I'm here and I'm here all in release mode. And I cracked open as well. And I felt like I was just overflowing with everything. And it was just so powerful to have Native Hawaiians talk about all of their lineage and all of their cultural practices while it was actually happening. Like it wasn't something in the past. It was just so present and so cool to see their land changing before our eyes and their histories, their stories.
Wow, it sounds like an incredible time. I'm so excited for you guys. It's just fun stuff happening. I love traveling, but I still don't know if I want to visit Hawaii, but I still don't know if I'll ever go because there's just so much to do on this side. And
yeah,
I have to wait for that special occasion too, because I don't want to go and be a tourist. I want to go in and visit relatives, essentially.
Yeah. And that's how I felt too. Like, I know that there's a lot of indigenous locals there who don't want tourists coming because they are literally destroying the ecosystem. And I felt the same way, but I felt invited. And when I got there, they wanted us there. They were really happy that we were there. It was really cool to see our specific cohort be embraced by so many local Native Hawaiians, because there were very few who came from the mainland. Well, and we were some of the few who did come, and we came with a couple of other ladies because of the Grant Makers for Girls, who put up the cash to make it all happen. It was the Jackie from the Palestine Feminist Collective. She was there, and it was really cool to see other women of color just be embraced by their culture. And the workshops were probably the best workshops I've ever been to. The genealogy workshop like totally changed my life. It was really cool. It was cool to see an activist who has a lineage of being an activist for generations and generations of being a powerful indigenous Hawaii family come to our workshop and tell us her stories and how she honors the land and the earth and her being, her actual being. It was really cool. And then it was like celebrating time, just time to eat, time to go hang out at the beach and just get to know each other. So there was still those conference elements wrapped up in everything. And it was just the most beautiful place. It was really surreal for me. I will definitely go back.
Wow. And it's almost the winter solstice. It's almost time to, and Faye and I were just talking because I trimmed my hair today. It's a full moon. And so last night I trimmed my bangs again. And I like trimming my bangs on a full moon because I know that whatever I do will go out crooked like very quickly. And then I took kind of a lot, maybe 3-4 inches off, because I feel like, well, this year has been exceptionally tough, right? And I'm starting to think about intentions for next year. Yeah, this year has just been incredibly tough health-wise. It's just been, we got COVID in January, and then it's just been a string of colds after that. And I think the summer was mostly healthy. I wasn't sick at all, once or twice maybe, but it was when school started for Onan. But Hopis don't cut their hair on the full moon in December. Is it just December, or do you guys?
Yeah, so I thought that was the cool thing. While we're in Hawaii, our quiet month started. Beginning that, we're supposed to go out and pray. I mean, we're supposed to go out and pray every day, but sometimes we forget and tend to. But while we're there, it was like you had to go, like you had to make time out to go pray in the morning. And so that's what I did during the sunrise ceremony. It was the day to go pray, and it just felt so good and so surreal to like pray in that type of way, in a whole different way, to cleanse yourself as well in the water. So that's when our quiet month started, and it's all the way until Christmas time. Then we can be able to cut our hair again.
I never knew that before. Well, I'm glad I didn't trim Onan's hair. Then he's still he's more Hopi than Blackfoot this December.
Cool. Yeah, so it was a great experience. I tried to get as many interview clips as I can. I got a clip from someone who attended each conference, so this was their third time. So I want to play a little clip from that just to kind of give listeners a perspective on what it's like to see this conference grow and get bigger and bigger.
My name is Kimberly Jackson, and I came here as a peer support specialist through the Pua Foundation. It's actually my third one.
Wow.
Yes.
So what did you learn the first time you came here?
I learned about community, about how perfectly we're strangers, but yet we come together for a common cause.
What did you learn this year?
Oh, this year was just so powerful. In this place that we're at, I felt when we were together, the mana, which is the energy, the power, was just so strong, and it was so positive, coming from everyone from around the world. It was just really powerful, and I learned a lot about I would say the issues that everyone is facing and how we can collaborate together to come to a common solution.
Who do you think should come to this conference?
I think anyone with the heart to serve, to see changes, to want to help people, mental health people, people with trauma, kids, you know, that certain population, to make better human beings, to make a better world.
Where do you want to see this conference go in the future?
Oh, I want to see it huge. I want to see us take up 2 floors of the Aulani and this whole place just filled with so much love and aloha that when we're all here, rainbows and stars and everything will just shoot in the sky.
And what do you want to see for yourself in the future?
For myself, I want to see myself as being a doctor to help kids with trauma, to just serve the community and serve people in general, because we weren't put on this earth for our selfish reasons. We were really put on this earth to serve others.
So I'm thinking that the next one might be January 2024 is what they were kind of saying. So I'm definitely interested in attending again. It was a wonderful experience. It was transformative. It was really cool to see a place that is under the, you know, American government system really incorporate Hawaiian traditions into, or just even speak about it and have lots of representation in their government system. It was really cool to see that. And I think that America could learn a lot from the state of Hawaii.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's just, we don't have mayors and governors at our empowerment events, do we?
Right. It was really surreal to see like them actually talking. At first I was like, that can't be the government. That can't be the governor of Hawaii. And then sure enough, I like looked in the papers and I Googled it. I was like, wow, it really is. It really is. And she was just so graceful. And it was just a really different experience to see an official engaging with the community like that and answering hard questions. Like they were throwing everything at her. And she was just like, yep, I know what you mean. We're working on it. You know, she's dedicated like 40 years of her life to try and transform this land to better using her privilege, because she's a white lady, using her privilege to benefit the natives. It was really cool to see. So I'm going to keep my eye on this situation. The Pua Foundation, empowering individuals, families, and communities. A lot of the same work that we kind of do. They're really focused, though, on the people who are trapped in the prison systems. So I'm going to keep my eye on it and see how their programs that they were all talking about are going. Because, you know, I got a lot of family members who also got incarcerated. My sister over and over and over getting in that cycle of institutional, you know, prison system. And it's hard to break out of. And she has actually for the past like decade, but as a younger person, she was in and out. And unfortunately, a lot of our people experienced that. And it was just really cool to see people actually working and trying to prevent it by dealing with the root issue, which was the trauma and not punishment. It was, let's deal with the healing and focus less on punishing people.
Yeah. I think also one thing that I've learned as well coming from that is the peer support that they're working on. When they come out, you know, the people that have struggled, that have came up from their trauma or whatever, they're also making a job called peer support where they can apply and become a peer supporter, where they can help others who are going through the process of coming out, going through whatever, homelessness, drugs, whatever the case may be, and just helping them get out the hole, encouraging them to apply for housing, applying for this and that, whatever may help them, and just being their support system. It's a job. So that's one thing that they're working on, is getting more peer supporters, getting people to become one, and just making it know that peer support is a thing. I've never cried in a conference before, but the peer support conversation really got to me. One of the persons talked about confronting their trauma, which was their dad. He said that his dad would always hit him and abuse him. And one day he just got tired of it and he did something back. And his dad was like, why you do this? And he is like, you never told me you loved me. And he is like, I always told you I loved you. And he is like, yes, but it's always after you hit me. And that's when his dad started crying. And ever since then, his dad never hit him again. It was a really good, just hearing everybody's stories on how they came up from their trauma was really interesting.
Yeah, they really focus on the peer support aspect of it as well. People who have lived experience, which was something that also resonated with me, being with my history of addictions that I've grown through and had to overcome. But was what really stuck with me is that lived experience, there's a genius and power in it. And they really focus and encourage that. And it was really beautiful to see it, even just hear the genius of lived experience. I was just like, ding, oh my gosh. There was a lot of moments like that. It was just so beautiful to see them all working together.
Wow. And that's, I mean, that's kind of like what Leah Wetzel does here in Montana with the Peer Support Network. And I don't know if they have job opportunities in the same way though, because that sounds amazing. Once you go through that recovery system, I feel like maybe we don't have enough resources allocated to that. In hearing that, because I don't see that happening in Arizona either, but talking about like that prison to pipeline or school to prison pipeline that Native people go through, it's a real thing. And it hasn't changed much from our parents, grandparents' generations, where they were shipped off to residential and boarding schools and institutionalized as children to get comfortable with people providing them food, employment, daily activities. You get institutionalized to people providing these things for you. And then when you get out on your own, if you're not in that same environment, what happens? You know, either you've embodied them enough where it's become almost another form of violence that you enact on your kids of get this house cleaned up. No, like tuck those bed sheets, like no dust, no dirt, nothing. Like, I know a lot of Native people who are like very clean and tidy because that's what residential school beat into them. And then other people who reject that because that was beat into them. And so there's a lot of like the things we go through really do stick with us. And I think I would have cried too, Faye, if I heard that the only time that that kid was told, I love you, was after he was beaten. And that's so sad.
Yeah.
That when you say something matters, and that's, I think they call it like victim grooming of how to get, it's like almost a Stockholm syndrome. If he didn't stand up for himself and say, you can't just tell me you love me after you beat me. You have to tell me you love me all the time because you get conditioned and that's what becomes acceptable. And if he didn't stand up for himself, then that would have became his normal and what he passed on.
Yeah. And he said since then, he has never laid a hand on his own kids.
Wow. That's amazing. Breaking chains and dysfunction.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah.
So there is a huge, this was something that was new to me. Also seeing this peer support system. I was also not aware of it. And again, like they're a great model of what should be done. But also there was a lot of people from Portland, Oregon who are in the building who have this huge, and they're non-Indigenous though, they have this huge peer support network, and they're doing the exact same thing. They're using their lived experiences from people who have gone through everything, came out healed, and are helping people who are just coming out of their trauma. Because the simplest thing, like getting an ID, like they are guided to help people do that so that they can proceed to the next step. And then the next step, because that usually is what holds people back. I mean, you imagine being incarcerated so long, you come out, everything's expired, everything's brand new. Like it's just a complete start over. Like who's going to help you navigate all of these crazy systems that we have? Peer support. So with regards to Leah, I would suggest they're having this huge peer apocalypse conference that they invited me to, because I was like, I could see myself working in peer support, you know, helping people who have been through alcohol, drugs, addiction. Like I had to navigate myself with no help. Like it would be amazing to have a peer support, someone who's been there and understand. But they're having this huge conference in May in Portland, Oregon. I think it's just outside of Portland, actually right on the ocean in this small little seaside town. And they're going to have, again, just a place for people to come together, learn about peer support. Someone like me would have to learn about peer support because I'm just learning about this now, but I'm sure there's tons of resources. If it's big enough to have a conference here on the mainland with that many people, I'm sure we could make some serious connections and kind of help our own communities who have people coming out of jail who have nowhere to start or don't know where to start.
Thank you so much for listening to the Indigenous Vision podcast. You can find out more about us on our official website, including how to contact us, make a donation, or play back any of our music radio shows or this podcast. Don't forget to share with your friends and write a review if you've got time. We totally appreciate you sharing your time with us.